Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Innergex Renewable Energy and Altera Power Corporation conference call. Bienvenue à la conférence téléphonique d'Innergex Énergies Renouvelables et Altera Power Corporation. At this time, all participants on the phone and internet are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session for analysts and institutional investors, and instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded. I will now turn the conference over to Karine Vachon, Communications Director. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'd like to specify that this conference will be held in English. Members of the media are invited to ask their questions by phone after this call. A presentation supporting today's discussion is available as we speak on the homepage of our website, innergex.com. Before we begin, we would like to remind you that the acquisition of Altera Power Corp. common shares by Innergex Renewable Energy Inc. is subject to approval by Altera Power Corp.'s shareholders and to other regulatory, key third-party consents, and customary closing conditions. This conference contains forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities laws, including but not limited to statements relating to the anticipated completion of the transaction and timing for such completion, sources and impact of funding of the transaction, and strategic, operational, and financial benefits and accretion expected to result from the transaction. Forward-looking information can generally be identified by the use of words such as may, will, should, estimate, expect, anticipate, plan, budget, scheduled, forecast, intend, believe, projected, potential, or other comparable terminology that states that certain events will or will not occur. Although it represents the estimates and expectations of Innergex and Altera relating to their future results and developments as of the date of this conference and are reasonable, it involves risks and uncertainties that may cause actual results to be materially different from those expressed by the forward-looking information. Altera and Innergex do not undertake to update or revise these statements unless so required by law. You are cautioned not to rely unduly on the forward-looking statements, as no assurance can be given that it will prove to be correct. During this presentation, we will also refer to financial measures that are not recognized according to International Financial Reporting Standards. Please refer to the non-IFRS measures section of the financial review for more information. With me today are Mr. Michel Letellier, President and Chief Executive Officer of Innergex, Mr. Ross Betty, Executive Chairman of Altera, Mr. John Carson, Chief Executive Officer of Altera, Mr. Jean Perron, Chief Financial Officer of Innergex, Ms. Linda Freeman, Chief Financial Officer of Altera, and Mr. Jean Trudel, Chief Investment Officer of Innergex. I now turn the conference over to Mr. Letellier.
Wow, that was a great introduction. Thank you, guys. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, John, Linda, and Ross to be on the line. And I'm here to talk about the great transaction that we are proposing to Altera shareholders and obviously to explain to our own shareholders of Innergex. So basically, why are we doing this is that we're acquiring actually 364 megawatt of existing projects, operating projects, three under construction for 118 megawatt of net capacity, and a pipeline that has three prospective projects that we consider advanced stage that represent roughly 686 megawatt, and also some other PTC qualified prospective project in the U.S. or close to about 500 megawatt. Obviously, there's also other potential development pipeline as we have also in Innergex, but those are a lot more speculative. That transaction would solidify the Innergex position as a leader renewable energy independent power producer by adding a portfolio of wind, hydro, and this time geothermal. We'll talk about it a little bit on. Solar, also, we are introducing the, I'm sorry, the Iceland and obviously the U.S. That's a big portion that we wanted to go. We also wanted to make sure that the transaction was well financed, and hence we went to see our friend and shareholder, La Caisse de Dépôt, and we have had their commitment to provide a sub-debt of $150 million. That sub-debt has a price of, based on the 5 years Canada bond, and 300 basis point over. So right now that would represent something around 470, 475 coupons, which we consider quite competitive to this type of debt. We also have the commitment of two leading Canadian banks to increase our credit facility up to $700 million. We'll talk about it later on, but this is providing us a lot more flexibility to complete the transaction and also to finance the future growth of the future pro forma company. And also for Altera shareholders, I'm glad to report that they will have a nice premium from the last trading prices. So what are we offering is that we're offering to acquire 100% of the shares of Altera. The price is set at 8.25. We have the option to pay shareholder will have the option to take either cash or shares. But at the end of the day, we would impose a pro rata of 25% cash and 75% common share. But depending on how people will select, this is basically a basket of available cash. When it's if it's fully drawn, then the split of share and cash will be imposed. So on fully diluted after the transaction, that would represent about $2.06 in cash and 0.4172 share exchange for the share of Energex versus the share of Altera. The total transaction implied is about $1.1 billion when we assume the existing debt of Altera. And that represents roughly a 58% premium from the last trade. Ultimately, the Altera shareholder will own approximately 19% of the shares of Energex pro forma. Ross, would you take that section, please? Hello.
I sure will, Michel. Thank you very much, sure. and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Well, the transaction summary on page 5 is quite self-explanatory. I own about 31% of Altera's common shares, and I'm going to vote in favor of the transaction, obviously. I've locked up to this. And all of our directors and senior officers representing about 2% of Altera's shares have also locked up to the transaction. I've elected to receive only common shares of Energex for the entirety of my holding, and I will explain why this is later on. And finally, I have agreed to hold these shares, at least Energex shares acquired as pursuant to this transaction, for at least 12 months. And as I will explain later, this was sleeves off my vest. I hope to hold them a lot longer than that. Over to you, Michel.
Thank you, Rod, for that comment. Now on page 6, we're coming back to the financing. I already told you about La Caisse de Dépôt and the two leading Canadian bank to increase our line of credit up to $700 million. But this is not necessarily a conventional line of credit. If you remember, this facility is supported by some unlevered existing operating asset, plus the future cash flow of the project and also the residual cash flow coming from the other project. So it's a strong, I would say, it's a strong base of assets that support this $700 million credit facility. Sorry. We will also welcome one board member from the Altera. We will disclose who's going to be the lucky nominee. The timing is basically we will seek to have a two-thirds of the shareholders of Altera in a special special meeting. The closing will be subject to approval, regular approval. We think that basically the transaction should close somewhere in the first quarter of 2018, but we'll keep you a little bit more informed as the transaction go. And we'll also explain in the proxy circular that Altera will prepare. All that information will be submitted to the shareholder of Altera. Now, if we flip on page 7, it's a graph showing the assets of Altera, the operating asset, and also the assets under construction. So it shows about 482 megawatt of operating and under construction asset, both by area, geographic diversity, also by the source of energy. So we can see that in terms of diversification, Canada represents 34%, USA 46%, and Iceland 20% of that portfolio. Now, in terms of mix of energy source, 20% represent the geothermal, 27% hydro, 50% comes to wind, and 3% solar. As far as the split between operating and construction, we have there 76% operating and about 24% under construction for a total of 482 megawatt. Now, we've talked also about, and John will give you a better flavor of these assets in the next few slides, but the advanced stage projects or prospective project that we're talking will represent about 686 megawatt and also about 490 megawatt of PTC qualified project is also in the mix, and of course the prospective project primary stage represents a little bit over 4,000 megawatt of potential projects. So on this, John, you know these assets very well. You've worked pretty hard on developing them. So please, can you explain what they are and why they're so great?
Right. Well, thanks for describing our operating portfolio and our under-construction projects, Michelle. The advanced stage prospects there on slide 10 really are what you should expect to see next as far as project deliveries. You see that two of these three, and they're both very larger of the assets, are in the USA. This has been where the core of our activities have focused. And really, I would say, Michelle, this represents the nice tip of the iceberg. There is a lot more behind these candidates that we hope to advance together with your team now that we're joining forces and to really bring along many assets over this four-year period that we're in through the end of 2020 where we really see a flourish of new activity. So, yeah, Ford City is one that's highlighted here. It's the first time we've disclosed anything about it. As you see, it's a very large project. It has a great transmission story, and it's been getting a lot of positive attention on the power marketing side. And we are working very hard to get a contract for that asset very soon. The 320-megawatt Boswell Springs asset below there already has its contract with PacifiCorp. That's a development asset that we think that will go into full construction in 2019 or even as early as late 2018, certainly to deliver power by the end of 2020. And then lastly, in Iceland, the Reykjanes 4 asset, which we'd previously described for folks, as we get our resources in order for that project, it will become part of the generating pool that we have for our Iceland company, HS Orca. So, yeah, there's a lot more behind this, but these are the leading candidates for next projects to go into construction, Michelle.
Okay, great. You just skipped the, and I'm sorry for the confusion. Page 8 and 9, folks, you have the description. Do you mind, John, to go quick on the existing and under construction?
I don't. Thanks for doing that. I had thought you'd mention them a bit. So, again, I also apologize for the confusion. Back to page 8, just briefly, you see where we have one corner of our business, a very strong corner in Iceland. We do have geothermal assets, which are new for the Energex portfolio, and we've lived with these assets for many years. And we have team members on these assets that go back as long as 40 years. They are very well-established assets there, and in the world of geothermal assets, they're really second to none in terms of the reliability of the assets there. That Svartsengi plant that you see has been running for 40 years. In British Columbia, we have a strong backbone of assets. That was part of the original company called Plutonic Power, which joined us in 2011. There you see the Doki 1 wind farm and some very strong hydro assets, which we're very happy to join up with Innergex's rich assets within that province. There in Texas, you see the Shannon wind farm, which went into service in December of 2015. And there on the right, next to that one, you see a small solar asset, the Kokomo project in Indiana. We are focused on enlarging our wind portfolio for sure, but also on the solar side. We have leads on new projects that we hope to bring into the Innergex portfolio over these coming years. So, yeah, these are our core operating assets. And now flipping to page 9, you see what's under construction. First, the Flat Top project, already contracted, 13-year contract with Citi as the offtake there. We have our partner there, BlackRock, and we're very happy to report that construction could not be going better. We're fully on schedule, and we expect that this project will spin by March or April of 2018. There in Michigan, you see the Spartan project, another smaller solar project, but part of a theme. In the northern MISO power market area, we have been busy developing assets there, working with a partner that we have there, and there will be more to come, I believe. Lastly, at the bottom of Iceland, we have a strong hydro asset, though it is small at 9.9 megawatts, 10 megawatts. It actually operates at almost 100% capacity factor, i.e. it runs all the time, and that's a run-of-river project. It's a highly unusual situation, so 10 megawatts is really more like a 30-megawatt project. We just broke ground there this summer, and that will be a two-year or so build. So these three projects are well on their way to having a COD first quarter of 2018 in Texas, last quarter of this year in Michigan, and in 2019 or 2020 for the Bjerkvin hydro asset. Michel, back to you.
Thank you, John, and thank you for that presentation. If we go back to page 11, just to show you what all that means in terms of EBITDA, net to the future company, we were trying to give you a little bit of a guidance, and you know, in the Q&A, Jean Perron will explain a little bit how we will be treating the accounting of those. It's not necessarily full proportionate EBITDA and all that stuff, but I think it was important for you to see the type of EBITDA portion that is applied to all of these projects. So I don't want to go back into all the description, but in terms of operation of the project, that represents roughly $64 million of EBITDA, and the construction will bring another 9.4 EBITDA, so for a total of about $73 million EBITDA for 2018, just for these particular projects. Now, if we flip on page 12, this is basically trying to show you what is the new goal of Innergex in Altera now that on the basis of a pro forma. We now hope to be definitely over 2,000 megawatt by 2020. I think that if you take the Innergex operating assets, 1,000 megawatt, 1,078 megawatt, it's been a long night, and then 364 megawatt for Altera, plus the construction, you end up with 1,606 megawatt of net capacity by the end of 2019. And then we've talked about the 686 megawatt of potential project in the States, plus the 127 megawatt of small wind project in France. We have a total of more than 800 megawatt that we are working into advanced project to be put in service by 2020. So we are very hopeful that we'll break the 2,000 megawatt, and that doesn't take into account the project that we are working in Energex, in Latin America, or some other transaction that we may have in France. So very positive towards reaching that new goal of 2,000 megawatt by 2020. Obviously, we have also other pipeline for the future. And with basically with the team, both team now that we have in place or will have in place, I think that we'll have the ability to work on many platforms at the same time. So I think that the growth should accelerate in the future. Now on page 13, if you look what is the split now in the pro forma company, from the Energex standalone with the construction project in France, you would have 1,124 megawatt, 79% Canada, 20% Europe, 1% USA. Now, on a pro forma basis, you're seeing 1,606 megawatt, now 66% Canada, 14% US, 14% Europe, and 6% Iceland. Mind you that Iceland is an important part, but it's only 6% of the installed megawatt of the total pro forma company. Now, in terms of technology, Energex standalone, it's 50% wind, 47%, 50% hydro, 47% wind, 3% solar. With a pro forma, hydro is now 43%, wind 48%. 3% solar, 6% geothermal. So I like this split, this diversification. I think that it's paramount in our business to be well diversified and be conservative into establishing the long term forecast. But diversification is always helping against any movement or any lack of wind or hydro in different places around the world. So by more diversification, we think we can achieve a better stable company over time. So on this, Ross, would you have a few words?
Thank you, Michel. So I'm really going to speak for a couple of minutes now, and I'm going to really address my remarks to any Altera shareholders listening, or analysts, or people who are asking themselves, why did this deal happen and why do I support it? So first, how did it happen? Well, most people know Altera began as an idea back in 2008, and it's grown into the company that Michel has just described. Well, of course, I'm very pleased with what we've done in recent years, and I want to thank every single member of Altera's team and our board of directors for what they've done to give us an industry-leading growth platform as well as a solid operating base in all four renewable energy technologies, wind, solar, hydro, and geothermal. I'd especially like to single out and thank Altera's CEO, John Carson, for his steadfast efforts in building our U.S. wind portfolio particularly. We were not looking to sell this year, and in fact, we were really just hitting our stride. With enormous growth in the last couple of years and a tremendous portfolio of growth projects ahead of us. But we've always had one big drawback. We still have a relatively high cost of capital, and that has reduced the shareholder value we get from our assets. As a result, our share price has perennially underperformed its fair value, in my view. Well, to make a long story short, we were pitched an excellent offer from Energex this year, and we took it. Why do I like Energex so much? I like Energex on several fronts. First, I think a lot of Altera value will be surfaced with Energex's lower cost of capital. And I expect Energex will surface value for Altera's shareholders from Energex's own growth projects. Second, I don't really view this deal as a sale. I plan to convert my Altera shares into Energex shares and hold them for a long time. And I recommend that all Altera shareholders do the same. Energex is the closest analog in Canada to Altera. in being a pure-play clean energy company. It's just bigger and financially stronger, and those strengths will play to the benefit of all Altera shareholders who tender into Energex shares. I started Altera because I believe the renewable energy business is good business, that it can be done profitably, that it has strong growth opportunities, that it's what the world wants, and that it's the right kind of electricity to producing today. Electricity that doesn't produce harmful carbon emissions that are doing so much to pollute our air and ultimately our water. Energex and Altera are almost unique in Canada in only producing clean energy. And with them combined, I'll do my best to make sure it stays that way. Altera shareholders should be proud to become shareholders of Energex and help it continue as Canada's best company in this business. Third, I really see a great organic fit between Altera's assets and those of Energex. Energex and Altera have very synergistic assets in British Columbia. Altera has a great portfolio of producing and growth assets in the U.S., which Energex will get full value from. And Altera's Icelandic assets and Energex's French assets will add to the company's strengths through its international diversity. This is a very strong, balanced portfolio with excellent contributions from each company. And finally, it's all about the people. I've watched Energex for more than 9 years now. I've come to know and respect Energex's CEO, Michel Letellier, and its chief investment officer, Jean Trudel, as well as, in more recent months, many of its senior team. They are fine people. I really like them, and I think they will be a great fit with Altera's corporate culture and Altera's team. I'm enthusiastic about this combination. I support it wholeheartedly. I look forward to it being completed. And that's all I have to say. I'd like to ask John Carson to say a few words, please.
Thanks, Ross. You know, from my perspective, what I'd just like to relate to everyone on this call is just what I related to all of our employees here about 1 hour in the room where I'm sitting. As soon as we announced this transaction, we gathered all of our employees. We ran through a brief presentation, and the big theme was things aren't changing for us except for the better. From now on, every power purchase agreement we attempt to land will be that much easier. Every development project we attempt to gain control of, it will be that much easier. We've got a lot more wind at our sails. Our growth program is not changing. So from my perspective, it was easy to convey to my team that things are only changing for the better. And I really feel that message was well received by my team. Everybody knows the value we've created and the potential that we have, and it's just really enhanced through this transaction. So look for that same U.S. growth profile program, Ross, that we have worked so hard on here to be continued. And I'm very happy, Michelle, with your agreement that we just stick with the program here and really grow these assets responsibly, efficiently, and strongly over these next years. Thanks.
Thank you very much, guys. It was a pleasure hearing you, and you have described what we're trying to do admirably. If I continue on page 15 on the same length or of thought, I think that this transaction obviously is one that can create synergy. People that know me knows that we are thinking the long term. We play the long game, and this is not for the short term. We don't want just to create some synergy by cutting jobs and stuff like that. Of course, we'll try to find some synergy and be more efficient in a way. Two public company, I'm pretty sure we can save a little bit of money here and there, but this is not why we're doing this transaction. We're doing this transaction for the future. We're doing this transaction to have more people working at the same time to grow the company. And this is basically why we basically try to merge and combine with Altera. It's important for us to grow. That was probably a little bit of our weakness. Lately, we were working on it, and we're still working on it. I think that Energex has proven and have advanced on many fronts. Lately, the France, we have been very successful in France, and I think that we now have a very good stronghold in France with our office in Lyon. We have worked quite a bit in Latin America. I think that it's just a matter of time where we will be successful over there. And this particular transaction is open up the U.S. where basically we wanted to have our next focus. So this is basically bringing us forward towards a big presence in the U.S. And obviously we need good people, and the people at Altera had proven their ability to deliver good projects. So with our help and our strength of a combined entity, I think we'll have a great success over there. I just want to make sure that on page 15, we're giving you again the guidance. We want to remain exclusively renewable energy. I think it's even more important today than ever to reaffirm that that part. We want to maintain our diversification of energy source. Obviously, wind has more potential over the future, but we like hydro, and we would love to be able to keep building and acquiring hydro. So this is also something that is dear to us. Solar, of course, is very interesting, and geothermal in Iceland seems to be very well fit for Iceland. We'll take a closer look on the geothermal for the rest of the world, but I think that it's not a focus for us in the future. I think that we like Iceland, we like the team over there, but I think we'll be focusing more on hydro, wind, and solar to be more competitive around the world. Develop an international presence in target market. We have said that we are going to focus on France and Peru, Chile, to name these two in Latin America. That's in obviously in the U.S. So those are the market where we want to focus in the next future or near term future. And obviously Canada, even if Canada, people are a little bit more enthusiastic about the potential in Canada, but there are still some pockets of interesting development in Canada. So we intend to participate in Saskatchewan as an example, in New Brunswick. We have a little bit of a venture in Urgex in the north with the Inujuak project, Inavik project. So I think that we'll find some ways to be active also in Canada, especially now with a bigger team. We certainly have a lot of potential for the future of Canada. We also want to focus on high quality assets. So that's why we like the assets of Altera, they're especially the one in BC. Very well built. We've visited all the assets. We've liked what we've seen. We want to maintain a low-risk business model. Of course, the time of having 40 years PPA with BC Hydro is more, it's in the past. But we'll be focusing on being conservative in establishing the price of electricity on the long term and focus to be conservative. Maintain the long-term outlook, focus on partnership, especially with First Nation in Canada. I think we can find some interesting future development there. And we'll maintain a discipline of acquisition that are accretive to cash flow, and Altera is accretive to our cash flow. Just to come back on the page 16 on our mission, we basically want to grow our portfolio in a sustainable way. And when we say on page 17, what is the sustainable business model, I resume it, and you've heard me saying it so many times. For me, sustainable business means the 3P, the people, the planet, and the profit, and they're all equal. We want to make sure that we look on the long term. We want to make sure that we have a great partnership with local community, that we share on a fair basis, that we respect the environment where we are in. And of course, we want to make a decent return to support our shareholders. So on those notes, we will be opening the question period. And I'll redirect the question either to Ross or John or Jean Perron or myself. So on that, we are opening up the floor.
This completes our presentation. We now invite you to ask your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your question will be polled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you are using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. Your first question comes from the line of Nelson Ng of RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Great, thanks, and congratulations everyone for the transaction.
Thank you.
Michelle, I just want to start off, just wanted to get your comments on cash flow accretion. Could you just talk a bit about the timing and the magnitude? I think in the press release you mentioned that the transaction would be accretive with various assumptions.
Yes. I think that the cash flow in the U.S. is a little bit different. The cash flow in Canada, Nelson, I'm pretty sure you can handle those calculations as you're quite good there. But I think that why we're doing this transaction is also the cash flow profile of the wind farm in the U.S., given the fact that most of them, well, all of them in the near future will have tax equity financing. And tax equity financing is basically putting a mortgage on a 10-year mortgage fully amortized on an asset that has a life of 25 or 30 years. So a lot of the first year of the cash flow are basically repaying that mortgage. So tax equity is a little bit the same thing. So on a very short term, this is not where we're creating a huge amount of accretion. There is accretion, reasonable accretion, but I think that as soon as we repay and the flip occurs after the tax equity are repaid, then those plants will be very accretive to the cash flow of Innergex. And again, we're a long-term player, so we see these as a great accretion in the future. And in the meantime, obviously, in the transaction, we also ascribing some value to the upside and the potential. So obviously, as soon as those projects will kick in, that will contribute to the accretion. But I would say as a whole, for the next 10 years or so, the accretion on the cash flow is a high single-digit accretion numbers that we have calculated with BMO and all the simulation that we've done.
Okay, thanks. And then a quick question on the balance sheet. So are you fine with the, leverage level of the combined balance sheet? Are you looking to delever over time, or could you just talk a bit about funding growth and where you want the balance sheet to be?
Well, we've Jean Trudel had some session with S&P, and I think with what we have now, the cash and the new proposed line of credit, credit facility. Thank you. I think that this is really, really supportable with the numbers that is coming and the pro forma that we have shown to S&P. There's no issue there. I think that taking advantage of this low cost of capital is what makes us also competitive in the marketplace. The support of La Caisse is also showing that they also believe in the future of the company and the strength of the balance sheet. So I'm very comfortable with that type of financing. Obviously, if we're continuing and be successful in acquiring other assets or winning project, if we have to come back, that's fine. But for the time being, what we've seen on the table, we have over $250 million will be available on the credit facility. So we have a little bit of room to expand before needing to come back to the marketplace.
Okay. And just a few quick housekeeping questions. Does Altera plan to maintain the dividend through to close?
Yes. I think so, Russ, or one last dividend. Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
And then
yes, we will be.
Okay, great. And then just one last question. In terms of the, I guess, 75-25 share and cash split, I guess it's fair to say that if everyone elects to choose the shares, I think Ross and others will be prorated down to the 75-25?
Yes. Like, yes. It works like a pool of cash is available. It's a roughly $123 million, or about. And if all people choose cash, then it's okay. But at one point in time, then there's a prorata that is applied to the remaining.
And is there like a default option? So if for Altera shareholders that do not choose any option, do they automatically? Does it by default elect cash or shares? Or one or the other?
They get shares.
Got it. Okay, thanks. Those are all my questions for now.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeremy Rosenfield of Industrial Alliance. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon. Couple of questions. First, on the new project that's being announced today, Ford City, and I'm wondering if maybe somebody from the Altera team could provide any additional details on that project specifically. Might help us to understand a little bit of the impact of that project within the acquisition calculus.
John?
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. Really not a lot to disclose past what we've disclosed. It is a large project. As I mentioned, it's a very well-positioned node of transmission, of interconnection. So out of many, many projects that we have been triaging through, this is one of the best. It's also in a very welcoming community in Ford County, Texas. So we're extremely happy to be working with that community on this project. It's not done yet, but all things are tracking well for that project. And as I mentioned, on the power marketing side, getting a power purchase agreement, et cetera, to be the backbone for that project, we've been making great strides. So that's going very well, and we'd love in the future here to have something very positive to announce for the next steps at Ford City.
Okay, and then, Michelle, if I can maybe come back to you. When you look at the Ford City and the Boswell Spring project, they're both quite large potential investments. Is the intention for Innergex to retain 100% of the cash equity in those two projects?
Well, yes, but always open to the idea that if there's a very, I would say, cheap cost of capital that would enhance the total return of the company, We always said that we're willing to make a better return on equity by utilizing either pension fund or infrastructure fund, but it'll be case by case. You know, if we win both and both goes fast, there's maybe this opportunity, but if we only have one of those two developing, I'm not so sure that we'd be willing to share. But I guess we'll be opportunistic on what is offering up there, and if there's really, really competitive proposal. Why not?
Okay.
Hey, Michelle, John here. Just to echo you there. Well, one good thing about what we will have on that project and these projects is the option. We had just closed with BlackRock a partnership agreement around Flat Top, and we got a lot of great attention for that. So, it's to be determined, as you said, whether we will or not, but the nice thing is we have a very good option if we choose to take it.
Okay, great. Maybe just one question. I'll leave lots of stuff for other people as well. Just on the recent acquisition that Altera had announced of a project in California called Jawbone, and I noticed that it's conspicuously not part of the presentation, and I'm wondering if that's because of the fact that it was deemed to be too far out, or within the calculus it was thought that it, you know, would not be one of the initial projects as a result, or, you know, something else. And maybe you can just talk about that, Michelle.
Yeah, well, we like that project also. Is it that we think that it has a little bit more challenge? Obviously, there's you know, in development, you never know. You sometimes there's a project you think will be a little bit more difficult to develop, and suddenly everything goes well. So in the case of Jawbone, we think that it's part of the prospective and PTC qualified project as a basket, and we just felt that to singling it out right away was a little bit early, but we like that project, and obviously the team will be working on it to try to develop it as fast as possible, but we just wanted to give you a little bit more guidance to where we thought that we could create value earlier on.
Okay, perfect. I'll leave it there for the moment. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Mark Darby of CIBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone.
Hello, Mark.
Question on the U.S. projects in terms of where you think project IRRs might fall, and then specifically why Boswell, that has a contract, wouldn't. So, you know, what would be the limiting factors for moving forward on that? Is that just securing the permanent financing to make sure it gets over your hurdle, or are there some other constraints that might delay that project?
I'll answer a little bit, but then John will talk. I don't think it's the problem of applying or finding the capital to finance this project. The project has a little bit of permitting challenges towards building one interconnection line. Other than that, I think that return in the U.S., you heard me, and we may have some discussion internally with John. It all depends on the assumption you're taking, also on the future price of electricity. From our part, I think we like taking a closer look at the, I would say, a little bit more conservative way in order to establish the future cash flow available for dividend. But obviously, we like the optionality that if price goes up in the States, this project will be even better in the future. In the case of Boswell, there's already a PPA in place, so for 20 years. So this is less of an issue. I think that Boswell challenge, and John, you can add up, is basically the permitting of the transmission line. Once that hurdle is passed, I think that project looks really good.
That's
John?
Right, Michel. Yeah, at Boswell, we really are focused on the final pathways and accomplished of all rights for the transmission. And also, with respect to our permitting process, we're just in the middle of our ISD, our state permitting process, which is going very well, and we expect it to continue to go well. So all signs looking good right now, and that is one of the biggest priorities that Altera has, is to make sure that that project comes across the finish line well with its good 20-year power purchase agreement. And echo your words on returns, Michelle, and we have found that if you work hard enough and sift through enough projects and work really scramble, you can find strongly returning projects amongst all of this competition. That's what we've done, and that's what we hope to do with you together, Michelle.
Thanks. Thank you, John.
Okay, and then historically you guys have given free cash flow guidance, sort of run rate for the portfolio. You haven't given it today here, but when would you sort of be in a position to talk about that? Is that going to have to wait for the Q4 results in next year, or is that just going to take a while to evolve and will you back away from free cash flow guidance for the time being?
Usually what we do is that we provide the cash flow of the years in the first quarter of the year. We were planning to do this, but we'll discuss internally if we can give a little bit more guidance at the analyst call.
Okay, and then in terms of the dividend policy and things about payout ratio, you talked about some of the cash flow profile of the wind projects backed by tax equity being a bit back-end weighted. How might people want to think about where you guys would want to target the payout ratio in the near term and how you're going to govern the dividend policy?
Good. Well, it's a good point. We're not changing our policy. If you remember, we said that we would be comfortable on an average of getting as high as 80% of payout ratio for some period of time. I think that our policy, we are forecasting the cash flow conservatively enough so that we can sustain the trend that we have established 4 years ago by increasing every year the dividend. We've been conservative in trying to establish this rate of increase over time. This will not change. We want to make sure that when we establish a trend, we can support it on strong cash flow, and this will not change. I think that the possibility of growth that we are seeing in the United States is supported by our ability to generate cash flow. But you're right, some projects in the States are a little bit more back-ended than others, but then there's maybe some acquisition, some different portfolio mix that we can bring in to make sure that we will be comfortable in having a payout ratio below 80%. This is our strategy. This is where we're going. And there's many ways to be able to have a portfolio that can achieve that type of sustainability. And we're working hard on it.
Okay. And then my last question would be, I know the Blue Lagoon asset was considered to be divested. What about some of the minority ownership stakes, like things like smaller stakes in Doki? Would you guys consider shedding stuff that's sort of smaller scale?
No, well, we don't have any exposure in wind in BC, although it's only 40%. Altera and the future company will still manage the assets, so we like that. We don't like the contrary. We don't like to have a minority without managing the asset. We like managing the asset, so we know what's going on. So no, I mean the Doki, there's no issue there unless somebody puts a crazy offer on the table. We like that asset. We like the diversity of that asset, and we like the client, BC Hydro.
But just going back, the Blue Lagoon would be the one asset.
Oh yeah. Sorry, no. Blue Lagoon. I love being over there. It's really beautiful. I think it's a great place. It's a fantastic place. I think it has a great potential. We took a closer look of the value by using the discounted cash flow on the future cash flow of the place. We got comfortable with the appraised value of that investment. But as Altera was trying to do, I think that the goal of the future company will be to try to divest this asset. It's not because it's not going well. It's just that it's not a core business for us, and I think that we can use the cash to do something else.
Okay, those are great. Thanks for the question. Take care.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions at this time, please press the star followed by the one. As a reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing the keys. Your next question comes from the line of David Galison of Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Michelle, I had just a quick question on some of the debt and your thoughts on that. So, within the holding company bonds, there's some additional debt that's backed by shares for HS Orca. Would you be looking to refinance that, or what are your thoughts there?
That one has already been, if you're talking about the same, that was redeemed in exchange of the share. The share has been given to extinguish the debt already.
Well, I'm referring to the other batch of it that's held by Mr. Beatty.
Oh, yes. We'll have a tough negotiation to do with Ross later on, I think, over the years. He's charging too much for that debt, I think. But we'll see.
And then just, there are some contracts that Altera has pursued that is, maybe different. And I'm referring to, power hedges versus PPAs and some of the U.S. projects. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts were there and what your comfort level was and how would you think about pursuing some of the development projects.
Well, it's certainly a challenge, and it's something that is different from our long-term contract that we have. Mind you that as a big portfolio, a bigger portfolio, those are not representing a huge amount, but we have to be careful. We have to be mindful. I think that John's team have focused also to have more standard contract. Those sometimes are a little bit more difficult, but nonetheless, I think that as a portfolio approach, one could have here and there some little bit different contract strategy or risk profile. But obviously, we will be taking a good look at how much we can have in a portfolio, what type of exposure, because there's way also to basically try to be less exposed and take sometimes a little bit more less risk. You can have a smaller portion of your total production being hedged this way. Obviously, you know, sometimes with the tax equity guys, they have some guidance or they have some concern or exigence, how do we say,
requirement
that force you to somehow have a hedge or. But I think that the tax equity are evolving and they are getting a little bit more flexible in some ways. So I think that we'll be monitoring this, mindful. But again, in a bigger portfolio, sometimes you can have some ways to mitigate this exposure that seems to be more risky than the rest. But that's going to be our approach. I don't know, John, if you want to comment.
No, really beyond, it's really making the best out of what contracts are available. So the hedges have been available, and we do have a couple of those, as you mentioned. The old school traditional PPAs, as we mentioned earlier, we have 320 megawatts of fully contracted old school traditional PPAs in the portfolio. We also expect to contract at some other assets, as we discussed earlier, some other much lower risk contracts. The contracting universe has changed, especially in the United States. It is kind of a cutting edge experts field, but what we found there is that we're just going to smartly manage our risks. And overall, as you said, Michelle, we're going to make sure our portfolio on the whole is well balanced and all risks are sufficiently mitigated to keep our cash flow constant.
John, I thought maybe you can enlighten some of the analysts on the call about current trends in tax equity that will accrue to the combined company to the extent we continue to use that device for financing.
Sure. And perhaps, Russ, if it's all right with you, Michelle, I will just take a moment on that. What we've seen is the evolution of tax equity structures over the past 10 years. And this is particularly for Canadian investors. Many people's first exposure to what a tax equity deal looks like on a cash flow basis is nice, strong cash flows for 3 or 4 years, and then a dearth of cash for 6 or 7 years, and then finally a tail where the cash flows return. That reflects a structure that really isn't in use today. What we see today are typical allocations of, say, 30% or 35% of cash to a tax equity investor and 65-70% to the developer sponsor, which would be Energex. Those numbers can move a bit, but they don't move drastically these days. The last thing that I'll say is that what we're seeing very recently in the market is that there's more tax equity now than there are projects to go around. And what this has created is a dynamic where all of the things that used to go strictly tax equity's way are starting to fall our way a bit. Yields are a prime example. We've seen yields drop just over the past 2 or 3 months on publicly announced deals, in some cases, of 100 full basis points of compressions to the tax equity yield. That's just great for us. And so we expect to see that continue, along with other features besides that yield compression that are helping make tax equity deals much more favorable to sponsors these days. Michelle?
Yeah, thank you. And so we were just waiting for that to happen to come in the U.S. market, John. We look smart this way.
That's right.
And then I guess my last question, Michelle, would be just on, you know, your thoughts around future hedging, changes to your hedging program, considering now you'll have more exposure to the U.S. as well as exposure to multiple other currencies as well as aluminum pricing?
Well, that's a good point. We've been very active in the hedge towards the euro. The type of hedges that we will have to put for the U.S. will be monitor. We have the natural hedge is to basically switch some of our credit facility in the U.S., and that we have quite a bit right now. So that's an easy edge. After that, obviously, if we grow in the U.S., there's the cash can be redirected towards the development of the U.S. activities. But you're right. We at some point in time we have to check that and make sure that it's well balanced, and ultimately maybe issuing some U.S. debt also, or some type of product that will be denominated in U.S. currency to ease that risk over time.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeremy Rosenfield of Industrial Alliance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just want to follow up, Michelle. You know, you talk about the tax equity and the cash flow profile, and I'm just curious how you think about the valuation for the transaction. And you hinted at, you know, you think of everything, I think, with a very long-term perspective, of course. We know that is inherent to Innergex's strategy. But maybe if you could just think about, you know, how the valuation for the transaction today, and then if you can compare that to maybe some other opportunities that you had or that you might have been involved with elsewhere, you know, from a global perspective, you know, transactions in France or other transactions elsewhere that you might have looked at.
That's a very long and tricky question, Jeremy. But what we've tried to do is take all the assets of Altera and put a net present value on each of them and ascribe a discount rate for each of the category and our perception of risk, and then we basically add up all those value and come up with a value, and we were hoping to have a little bit of accretion to us, and so we negotiated hard with Ross and his team. I must say that Ross is a tough negotiator. So we end up with 8.25. I think that that represents a fair value on the existing asset. What we get into for Innergex is maybe the upside of the future development project, and that's why we want to focus on the ability of both teams to unlock some value. As John described, there's a lot of nice project in the United States to develop. Some also interesting development in Iceland is possible. So I think that we made sure that whatever we were discounting in existing asset was creating a certain value for Innergex, and that both by the synergy of both teams and the success of future development will come the really nice accretion and creation of wealth to both side of shareholders. But I think that compared to what we've seen in the past, I think it's compared fairly well with what we can get when you compare it to the risk profile of each of the assets. Of course, the U.S. asset with hedge has, in our view, a little bit more risk, so hence we did put a discount rate for a little bit higher than, as an example, Jimmy Creek, which is a brand new asset with a long-term PPA. So we've tried to take these approach, and as a whole, I think that we get to have a decent return and an immediate accretion to the short term, But I think that as we develop the project, I think we'll unlock even more value to both set of shareholders.
Okay. That's good. That's good. That's a good answer. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Vachon, there are no further questions at this time.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today. We look forward to speaking with you at both EnergyX and Altera third quarter conference call to be held on November 10th.
Thank you, everybody, for your support, and thank you for all the management of both teams that worked so hard.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may now disconnect your line.
Thanks, everyone.